Welcome to another dynamic presentation featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O'Fill. This presentation was recorded live at Columbia Union College in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Now, here is Pastor O'Fill to introduce today's presentation entitled, Dumb Questions, Wrong Answers.
I heard a story about a missionary who had lived over in Africa for many years, and this is back in the days in which they did a lot of their safaris. Those of you who know a little Swahili, remember that safari is trip. So they would do their safaris, their trips, just walk to where they were going. And so when he would do his safari, he would carry this great big hunting rifle with him, and he never had any trouble through the years. He'd never met any animals that threatened him, but he just carried this thing by habit. Well, one day he was walking along on safari on this path, and it was surrounded on both sides by elephant grass. Now, I suppose that means really tall grass, and so he's kind of hemmed in on both sides. He's walking along this path, and suddenly he does a little bend and comes face to face with a man-eating lion. And in the minute that lion sees him, that lion gets down to spring. Well, of course, that this is the moment that the man is prepared for, and he's got that rifle in his hand, a heavy caliber, and he brings it up to his shoulder, and in the second that lion springs, he pulls a trigger. But unfortunately, he missed the lion. Well, fortunately, the lion misgauged and jumped over his head. Well, in that moment of confusion, the fella didn't wait to say, let's do that again. He ducked off in that elephant grass, and he ran as fast as he could. And when he got back to the mission station, you know, when you've maybe almost had a wreck when you're driving the car, your knees are knocking together and your sweat's coming off your brow. And he got back to the mission station, and he said, I've been a fool. All these years, he said, I'm carrying this big gun for today. And he said, I can't hit the broadside of a barn. And if that lion hadn't jumped over my head, I'd be dead. And he said, I'm not going to let more time pass, but I'm going to set myself up a target and shoot until I can hit the bullseye. So the next morning about sunup, found this missionary with a box of shells and a target that he placed up on a tree. And he was squeezing off one round after another and feeling pretty good about himself because he was getting near the bullseye and even hitting it once in a while. Well, as he was practicing, he began to hear a strange noise coming from over in the jungle, over on one side, over there in the trees and the high grass. And at first he ignored it, but he kept shooting away. And finally the noise, he says, I wonder what in the world's going on over there. So he laid down his big gun and he walked over there a few yards. He pulled back the grass, and would you believe it, there was that same lion practicing shorter jumps. Anyway, you say, what does that have to do with anything? What's that have to do with anything? I'll tell you this. Listen to me now. Truth never changes. Truth is like a peg driven into the ground. Evil does change, however. Evil will assume any form. Now you see it, now you don't. Yet evil, the purpose of evil is to move further and further away from the truth. Listen to me. A person who prides himself, or who prided himself in the 80s as being a middle of the roader, is further from the truth in the 90s than he's ever been before. Now, I don't know you, and you don't know me, but I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, and that is to hear me out today. Now, when I began to talk about some of the things that I'm going to express with you, it brings up mixed feeling. And some people get mad, in fact. They get upset. I was doing this once in a young adult Sabbath school class, and a person told me after the class, they said somebody got mad and cussed and walked out before, you know, once they figured what was going on. So I'm going to ask the people that do the doors to lock the doors. Dr. Dent, could you help them lock the doors? We don't want... Hear this one out. See, now other people have said... Yeah, I thought something was funny. I think you're right. So whether you think I'm right or whether you think I'm wrong today, I want you to hear this out. I've entitled this, Dumb Questions, Wrong Answers. Dumb questions will always result in wrong answers. There's a lot of dumb questions being asked about God and religion these days. And the answers that we are coming up with are wrong and misleading. Let me do for a minute the old good news and bad news routine. The good news is that God loves everybody. Have you heard that one these days? God loves everybody. That we're telling that everywhere we go. But have you heard the bad news? The bad news, not everybody loves God. The question that is most relevant for you and me in the 90s is not, does God love me? But what would you get? Do I love God? Now, this is extremely important because God is not going to take to heaven those who He loves, because He even loves His enemies. But God is going to take to heaven, guess who? Those who love Him. Listen to me now. This is really good news. Those who really love God more than themselves and who really want to be saved will be saved. When you get to heaven, if I'm not there, don't worry. It'll be for one reason. And that is that I didn't want to go. Nobody, hear me now. Don't be misled. Don't misunderstand. Nobody is going to miss heaven by inches. Those who are not saved will miss it by a mile. This is why the most relevant question is not, does God love me the way I am? But do I love Him just the way I am? Let me do the good news and bad news thing again. The good news is that God's love for me is not affected by the way I dress and by my lifestyle. Did you hear me? God's love for me is not affected by the way I dress and by my lifestyle. But the bad news is that my love for Him is affected by the way I dress and by the things that I do. And the way I dress and the things that I do also affects the way that I feel about myself and about the rest of you guys. The good news is that God doesn't look on the outward appearance the way we do. You know what the bad news is? The bad news, He looks inside. I wish it was the other way, Dr. Dent, because on the outside, I got it made. I'm a saint. Have you ever seen a saint? You're looking at one. Now, I want to show you. No jewelry, not even a wedding ring, and I'm a grandpa. I don't even wear a tie clasp. I tuck it under here. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying I'm going to get him on the watch. Surely the watch, no. I've got that one too. And I wish this one would die so I could get one that was a little better, but it keeps going on. But I want to tell you, and also I would like to add, I'm a vegetarian and I don't eat between meals. See, I've got this saint thing, this external thing. I've got it all worked out. But I want to tell you, I've still got problems with the way I feel. I still have problems with criticism. I still have impure thoughts. I still have problems with anger. The bad news is that God looks on your heart and on my heart. You see, we can fool some of the people some of the time, and we can fool ourselves all the time, but we can't fool God anytime. Yeah. This is why the whole purpose of this gospel thing, this salvation thing, You know, it has to do with being born again, with having a new heart. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever said, I know I shouldn't do this, but? Huh? Come on. Have you said that? I know I shouldn't do this, but? Do you realize what we say when we say that? We're saying, I know I shouldn't do this, but. I mean, what that means is, everything I've ever read says don't do it. It means all my friends are saying, you're dumb if you do that. It means every time I've done this before, something bad happens. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's this part of us, the part that says, I know I shouldn't do this, but, that's ruining our lives. Something inside us is saying, I'm going to ruin my life, and that's the part that's got to be changed. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need Jesus in our lives, not just to stay out of hell someday, but to keep out of the hell that we get ourselves in right now. Because I know I shouldn't do this. I said I was going to talk to you about some dumb questions that bring on wrong answers. You know, some dumb questions that they've asked back in the Middle Ages, they used to ask, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? That was a theological question. You see, that's a dumb question. These days we're asking questions like, what kind of a nature did Jesus have? A fallen nature or an unfallen nature? Is that a dumb question? No. Not unless we become more interested in trying to prove He had our nature than we being concerned about having His. Listen, let me give you just some a little advice. Don't try to answer every question that somebody can think to ask you. You see, Jesus was smarter than that. Jesus knew a dumb question when He saw one. And sometimes He would either refuse to answer, or He would say, okay, I'll answer that if you'll answer this. Now, there's a super dumb question that's being somehow going around these days. And you know, we should have caught it in the bud. We should have stopped it when it first started. But somehow we've become involved in working on it. And let me tell you about it. The answer that we've come up with in regards to this dumb question is not only misleading and wrong, but it promises to cut the very heart out of the premise of the Christian faith. This dumb question is the following. Here I go. How can we love God and love each other if we don't love ourselves first? Have you heard that one? Huh? Have you heard it? Now, what is dumb is the premise on which this question is based. And that is that the problem we have in loving God and each other is based on the fact that we don't love ourselves. And so there's been kind of developed a myth that we'll call the myth of self-hate. You know, we're being told, as I just said, that we don't love God and each other because we don't love ourselves. We're being told that the first thing that we need to worry about in our lives is ourselves. You've heard this. And they've even made a new vocabulary to go with it. They talk about self-acceptance, self-image, self-esteem, and we're told that the problem of our poor self-image and our lack of self-esteem and all the rest is because we don't love ourselves. And so they're saying, hey, if you want to get it all together, start loving yourself. Listen to what they write about it. One person says, I can't think of a single psychological problem, from depression to fear of intimacy to criminal violence, that is not traceable to poor self-concept. Until we are willing to honor the self and proudly proclaim our rights to do so, we cannot fight for self-esteem and we cannot achieve it. Another place it says, perhaps the most important key to permanent enhancement of self-esteem is the practice of self-talk. Every waking moment, we must feed our self-image positive thoughts about ourselves and our performance, so relentlessly and vividly that our self-images are in time molded and modified to conform with a new or higher standard. Listen to what somebody suggests. This is great. To build your self-image, Make a list of your positive qualities on a card and keep it for handy reference. Brag on yourself from time to time. Get in your own corner. Listen to what somebody suggests. This is great. To build your self-image, make a list of your positive qualities on a card and keep it for handy reference. Brag on yourself from time to time. Get in your own corner. Listen to what they say. You should set aside a few minutes each day for the sole purpose of deliberately looking yourself in the eye in a mirror. As you do this, repeat some positive affirmations of the things you have done. Then repeat many of the things other people have said to you or about you. And then this person goes on to say, there are also cases where plastic surgery can be quite helpful in building a self-image. This is especially true in cases of unusually large or long nose, protruding ears, and other things. Listen to what someone said. As you accept yourself, you will see yourself as a person who truly deserves the good thing in life. Once you accept yourself for your true worth, the symptoms of vulgarity, profanity, sloppiness, promiscuity, and so forth disappear, and there, my friends, go your problems. This is incredible. They're saying, hey, the problems that we have in life, and we've got problems, come from the fact that we don't love ourselves. Now, hang on. I'm not an enemy of the human race. In fact, I would love to believe that this is true. But if it's true, ladies and gentlemen, that the problem that we have is that we don't love ourselves, then you explain to me what the Bible says in that second great commandment when it says, love your neighbor as your what? How was that? As yourself. I don't remember studying geometry, but in geometry, didn't we have axioms? Isn't axiom something that is? It's a fundamental something or other. You see, think a minute. How could God hold us accountable for loving other people if we indeed didn't love ourselves? In other words, he's saying, in as much as you already love yourself, love others at least that much. Now, what about the golden rule that we heard in a scripture reading? What's it say? Do unto others, what's the rest? As you would have them do unto you. This would be fatal if we hated ourselves. See, if I hate myself and wish myself ill, and you ask me to treat you like I feel about myself, you're in trouble. And listen to what it says in Ephesians. Ephesians says, no one ever hated his own flesh. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. It was in the scripture reading. Know ye this, in the last days perilous times will come, men shall be lovers of guess who? Themselves. Incredible. This is the dumbest thing I think that's ever gotten going. They're telling us with a straight face that we don't love ourselves. The scripture, they're telling us not only that we don't love ourselves, but get with it, start loving yourself. The scripture is saying, hey, you already love yourself, get with it and start loving somebody else for a change. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem that's facing our generation, you may disagree with me, it's not a plague of humility, but it's a plague of pride. As I just said, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. The problem that's facing our society are not caused by the fact that we don't love ourselves, but I think it's because we love ourselves too much, and we're withholding this love from each other. Now, hear that. Now, it is true. Don't go away mad. It is true that a human being cannot develop into a well-adjusted person without acceptance and esteem. But this acceptance and esteem does not come from the inside, but from guess where? From the outside. Let me explain. Hang on. Nothing has intrinsic value of itself. Nothing is worth more than what someone else is willing to pay for it. Have you fellas ever heard of the greater fool theory? The greater fool theory is based on, for example, you say, hey, I got a car here that's worth $10,000. I paid $10,000 for it. Oh, really? It's not worth, buddy, $10,000 until you found another fool who'll pay you $10,000. The greater fool theory says that something does have no value unless someone else is willing to pay that. Now listen to me.
Our worth as men and women is not based on how much we say we're worth, but on how we perceive that other people value us. This is why we experience acceptance and esteem when we are aware and come to know the value that God has placed upon us in giving His Son to die for us. Can't you see how that would work? I'm not valuable because of who I say I am, but I'm valuable because of the value that God has placed upon me. Can't you see how that could be? You know, Jesus has called us to an experience that goes beyond thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's called us to love each other as He loves us, and that is the self-sacrificing and self-denying love. In fact, He says, whoever will come after me, He doesn't say, love yourself. What does He say? Take up your cross and what? Follow me. He says, whoever would come after me, let him do what to himself? What's the word? Deny himself. And can't you hear it? Let's get smart. This flies right in the face of what they're telling us to do these days. They're telling us to love ourselves. And Jesus is telling us to deny ourselves and love other people. Now put that together. Listen, when you're preoccupied with loving yourself, don't tell me that you're preparing yourself to love me. But when you're preoccupied with loving yourself, what you're really doing is denying me the love which I can only receive from you and which is essential for my sense of esteem and acceptance. In the same way, when I'm preoccupied with loving myself, hey, don't believe it. I'm not preparing myself to love you, but I'm depriving you of the love which is essential for your sense of esteem and acceptance. Listen now. They're actually telling us with a straight face that if we want to get with it, we got to love ourselves. You like being around people that love themselves? No, the essence of the gospel is not, I love me, and a call to love ourselves. But the essence of the gospel is that God loves us, and He calls us to love one another as He loves us. Remember, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Listen, husbands are leaving their wives, not because they don't love themselves, but because they love themselves too much. Have you heard this one? My God wants me to be happy. I heard that one just last week. My God wants me to be happy. They do that when they run off with another woman. No, women are abandoning their children, not because they don't love themselves, but because they love themselves too much. Now, I'm going to flip this. Hang on. I'm going to flip it. Because some of you are thinking of your own lives. Children's lives are being ruined not because they don't love themselves, but because their selfish parents are depriving them of the acceptance and esteem that is essential for human development. Did you hear that? The issue, hear me now, is not at all do we need esteem and acceptance. But the smart question is, where do we get them? And the answer is, from each other. Back to the bad news and the good news again. The good news is, contrary to what they're telling us, we already love ourselves. A person, in fact, hang on to this one now. A person who says, I hate myself because I'm so ugly. You get that? A person who says, I hate myself because I'm so ugly, really doesn't hate himself, or he would be glad he was ugly. What he's saying is, I care about myself. I'm not as good looking as I deserve to be, feeling the way about myself that I do. The bad news I said, the good news is contrary to popular belief. What they're telling us, we already love ourselves, that's born into us. The bad news is that we're not going to survive and develop as individuals and as a society unless we feel and experience the love and acceptance of God and of each other. That's what being a Christian is all about. In fact, Jesus said, you remember it, by this men shall know that you're my disciples. Not by the way you love me, myself, and I, but by the way you love who? Each other. Well, that sermon's over. How was it? Are you mad at me? Or what do you think about? It's something to think about, isn't it? See? That's why I'm saying, hey, don't try to answer all the questions they're asking these days. Before you give an answer, decide whether the question is dumb or not. And then try to get the answer. Because dumb questions make wrong answers. I want to just appeal to you this morning. And that is to look into your own life, you know. And hey, listen. God means for you to be accepted and esteemed. And He does accept you. And He has great esteem for you. And we've come to this college, I hope, as opposed to going someplace else. And I think that this college should be giving something that other schools aren't giving. And that is when you come here, you feel this acceptance. And that you would feel this esteem. See? But remember, though when you come here, you can expect to receive. At the same time, the other side of this is God expects you to do what? To give. It can't be just a one-way street. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, you know how much we need to feel loved and to feel accepted. And how many of us, Lord, we feel bad, we feel rejected. Oh God, forgive us for turning in. Teach us. Teach us, oh God, to love each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.